It's nice to be here tonight. Like I said, I'm really thankful to be here tonight. And you should be very thankful, too, that you can be here gathering together to worship the Lord. In Ephesians 6, if I'm correct, you can look it up, talks about we wage war against principality and powers and these authorities. And I'm telling you that these authorities and principalities are waging war on our country right now. They're trying to take away our freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and their goal is to persecute Christians. So this is an awesome time that we can come together, worship the Lord. We have freedom. We should be thankful for that and hold on to that. Amen. So last week we did the Dare to Be Daniel series. We're still in that. Yeah, tonight is a continuation of the Dare to Be Different. So we started that last week, Dare to Be Different, under Dare to Be a Daniel. And last week we talked about what it is to be holy, what holy is. And it's actually to be separated, be pulled out from the world, be separated, and to be consecrated to the Lord. And that is holy, according to the scriptures. And I also challenge y'all with this question. Are you willing to be bold and stand up for Jesus in this perverse world? So tonight, we're going to continue with daring to be different. Okay, so actually tonight, in the Dare to Be a Daniel study, we're actually going to read from the book of Daniel. Yeah, I know. So, hopefully, y'all started to read it. If not, that's okay. I know. Exactly. But before we get into that, I want to show y'all a little bit of the historic timeline first. Here's my timeline. I know it's really funny and crude, but put it right here. Can everybody see it? Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you. And this comes from Matthew 1:17, when it goes through all the genealogies, and you can actually pull out some really awesome stuff. But it depicts four events in history, and I believe that they're extraordinarily significant. We'll get into that. So I'll review real fast. First, we have Father Abraham. He's the one that the Lord gave a promise to him, and he received that promise. He believed and had faith in the Lord's word, and the Lord counted that as righteousness. He counted his faith as righteousness. So that's actually the mold, or what we should actually look towards to achieve our own righteousness, because our righteousness doesn't come by works. You know, it's not like Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons, like how many people can you get in the church or whatever. But it's by faith in what Jesus did for us. And we'll get into that more later. And so, second of all, we have King David. He was the world leader. He was basically the first king of the world. And he was a man after the Lord's own heart. So he's awesome. Okay, and then we're going to skip over Babylon, and then we'll get into the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all the prophecies written about him all the way back in this period when Genesis was written. There's prophecies about Jesus back here, all the way up into this timeline, and he fulfilled them all. So historically, let's look back to that. Abraham actually walked the earth 4,000 years ago. So it's kind of fun to think about that. And then King David, he actually had God's kingdom here on earth, or the personification of Jesus' kingdom when he comes back, when he returns. He actually ruled the world 3,000 years ago. He was the first world ruler. And then, just 2,000 years ago, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ himself walked the earth. So, I mean, 2013, yeah, 2,000 years ago, do you see how the design of it? So 2,000 years ago, we have Jesus. 3,000 years ago, King David. And 4,000 years ago, we have Abraham. And then we have this one just wedged right in there. Like, it doesn't belong. But it's extraordinarily significant, especially with these other three events. But what is this event? This is the exile to Babylon. This is when Jerusalem was sieged by Babylon and taken by the Babylonians. But I really think why this is even in Matthew, why they just put this in here with these three other huge events, is because something else extraordinary happened. And that is, the book of Daniel was written. That's my personal belief. Because the book of Daniel is amazing, actually. So the book of Daniel, we won't get into this tonight, but we will get into this later, is full of timelines. They actually have a timeline of the exact moment the Messiah would come, would be born, the exact time when he would be cut off, when he was crucified, and then it even talks about his resurrection. And then also has a timeline of every world power from Babylon. Babylon was the next world power from King David. And it has a timeline of every world power from Babylon to today, where we are today. Yeah. I know. And if you get into this stuff, it's awesome. It's amazing. The book of Daniel also has the timeline of the Antichrist. So if you study it, you'll know who he is. And it's been a while since I've actually been really deep into the prophecies in the book of Daniel, but I'm pretty sure, and you'll have to check this out on your own. This is my Acts 17:11. Remember, receive everything with an open mind, but check it all into the scriptures, make sure it's right. That's right. But I do believe there's a timeline of Jesus' return and his rule when he comes back. Not the exactly specific date, obviously, but that's something else you can look into in your own personal time. And these revelations are just amazing. It's help you really connect with the Lord. But tonight, we'll be looking at the man Daniel as our example, because I think the more I've been looking at this and preparing for tonight, the more I'm like, wow, Daniel is actually a perfect example for us right now in this time where we are. First of all, have y'all seen the Daniel segment in the Bible show on History Channel? Yeah, well, he's like 40. Yeah. Daniel's actually a teenager. He's an older teenager. He's about y'all's age. So we're going to go ahead and turn to the book of Daniel now. We're going to start in chapter 1, and I'll just read it here, and you can follow along. I have this translation here that's it's kind of story-like, so it's really easy to listen to, but if you'd like, you could follow along in your Bibles, and I will begin. So, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure, the house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter in the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Then Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to do this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus of Persia. Okay. So Daniel, as a teenager, he grew up his whole life in Jerusalem. And he was from the tribe of Judah. And during this time that he grew up, it was being prophesied because the people were so rebellious. They wouldn't turn back to the Lord. They wouldn't get rid of their idols or whatever it was, their sin that they were holding on to. They just wouldn't get rid of it. They wouldn't upheed these prophets' word to change and follow the Lord. So, as prophesied, this pagan country came and sieged them. They came in and just took everything. The Babylonians, they took the gold that was consecrated to God in the temple of God, that were used in service and worship for the Lord. I mean, these are things like the Ark of the Covenant, the table with the showbread, and so forth, like major artifacts. And these Babylonians just took them and brought them back to their temple in Babylonia. And they used these artifacts, these gold pieces, to worship their demons, their demon gods. And that's what they were, if you look at it and research it. And they also, they took Daniel, who was of the royal bloodline. Not only was he of the royal bloodline, but he was also part of the remnant. And what I mean by the remnant is he's one of the few people that actually gave heed to God's word, that had faith in what the Lord was telling him and what the prophets were saying about the coming Messiah, about the Messiah that was going to come just 600 years later that had been prophesied for 2,500 years prior. He was one of these people that his faith, because he believed in this, was counted to him as righteousness. And that's a very important point to realize about Daniel, is that he was one of these faithful people of the remnant, but he was also of the holy bloodline, of the lineage. So the Babylonians saw this, and they wanted him. They, like, you know, we could train him and use him in our government. So we'll take him and his buddies. They'll go with us. And we'll take all this gold from their temple where he grew up as a teenager, and worshiping the Lord in this temple. And they took these pieces, and they brought it to the temple of demons that they worship. So, I mean, could you imagine what's going on in Daniel's head? I mean, could you imagine if you spent your whole life in the Lord's temple, and all of a sudden these pagans who worship Satan come in and just siege everything and take you out and make you a slave, and then take all the things consecrated to the Lord with them? They just steal it. Gold, solid gold objects that are just priceless. So, you know, as Daniel's seeing this, they're taking these things, and they're using them for their satanic worship. It's a terrible, despicable thing to kind of comprehend, because Babylon was pretty much wide open, if you could imagine. Basically, Babylon was like hell on earth, except for there's one major difference. Satan and his demons aren't in prison. They're just out roaming free, and these people are worshiping them, okay? It's open Satan worship. And they're taking these objects, things consecrated to Yahuwah, God, our Father, and using them for this. I mean, if I were Daniel, I would be ready to fight. I would be mad. I mean, think about it. I'll be pretty upset. But let's also take in mind, I'm repeating myself here, but remember that Babylon really is literally hell on earth. Like, you have these demons that are really there, like real demons, and they're worshiping them, and it's all around you, and you're a slave. So a part of you, you might be terrified, you might be afraid. So I mean, think about it. As Daniel, you literally went from the temple of the Lord to the temple of Satan at your age. I mean, think about it if you had to do that today. So you have a spectrum here of one side, of two different ways you can react. One side, you can get angry, or you just grab your sword and go hacking. Or the other side, where you're just terrified and you're curled up in a ball in the corner of a room. But Daniel didn't do either one of these. I mean, Daniel, he actually showed some Christ-like resemblance right there with how he reacted to the whole situation. I mean, this is a terrible situation. I've been over it like four times. I've said it four times. So Daniel, demonstrating this Christ-like attitude, a heart like
that resembles Jesus Christ. Daniel actually showed he was gentle and kind and long-suffering and patient. And when I'm looking at this and reading this, I kind of have a vision of Daniel just being cool as a cucumber. And, I mean, these are the traits of our Lord. These are the traits of Jesus Christ, to have that kind of patience with people doing these kind of things. And you'll later see, as you read the book of Daniel, that when, by doing this, they're actually bringing people to the Lord. Like, King Nebuchadnezzar, I think he comes to faith in the Lord towards the end. He abandons these demons and all this demonic worship, and he commits his life to following the Lord. And that's a way the Lord can use you too. With faith in Jesus Christ and who he is, the Lord can use you to do extraordinary things that you never even thought of. So regardless of your situation, God has a plan for each one of us. Like his plan for Daniel, we must trust in the Lord, have faith in the Lord, and trust in him to get us through these situations, because you don't know what's going to come about. So with Daniel, with his faith, with his boldness in the Lord, what actually happens? If we look back at verse 8, it says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. Okay, well, how can he defile himself with this food and wine? I mean, it doesn't explicitly say in the Bible, in the scriptures, of how the food and wine, the royal food and wine, can defile him. But majority of scholars actually believe, and they collectively agree on this, that the demonic worship was so rampant and so wide that it was very probable that all the royal food and wine was dedicated to these demons. And so Daniel, he didn't want any part of that. I'm eating that food. And he was faithful to the Lord. He was committed to staying faithful to the Lord in that. And he was bold. I mean, he denied eating this royal food to a government official's face, like right in his face. I'm not eating that. Yeah. People that are determined to stay faithful to God trust the Lord for their strength in a time of need, in a time of temptation. Those who are not prepared find it difficult to stay true to God's word and resist ungodly ideas and lifestyles when tempted. So, if you set your mind to be faithful to the Lord, he will honor that devotion like he did with Daniel. So, not only, you know, the Lord just kind of let things happen for Daniel just because of his faith. The Lord gave him and his buddies insight and understanding, as well as favor with those of power and authority. I mean, this government official that he said no to, he was like, he kind of worked with them there, like allowed them to eat vegetables. He's like, just try me for 10 days. And okay. And it says the Lord allowed that to happen. And it was because of his faith, just simple faith that we can have in Jesus Christ, that simple little seed-like faith. The Lord loves that. He sees that. And that's what he likes. He doesn't like you striving for things. He likes you seeing and believing. And the only way you can believe is by the word of God. So, on a different note, the world is full of followers. People go with the flow and conform to culture all around them. So in school, do you guys think you are trendsetters? Yeah? Or are you guys, it's cool, you can be. Are you a trend follower? No? Individual. What? Well, if... Okay, well, whether you realize it or not, people follow trends because they want to do what's in style. Yeah. And then, yeah. And who determines what is in style?
Hello.
You have a point. I'll get to that. So, it is the world that determines what's in style. It's, you know, the celebrities, media, Hollywood, the record industry. But my question is, who determines your style? Oh, no, there's no Sunday school answer here. It's y'all, you do. You determine your own style. Yeah. Okay, even though the majority of people follow trends, people still view themselves as independent original when it comes to their style. So, okay, the fashion industry actually watches you guys, like, I would say high school age. They watch y'all intensely, and they're admitting it. Like, this information I'm getting this from, they're actually admitting they steal your styles.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not kidding. They admitted this. I can't believe this. And they say, actually, very few kids are actually bold enough and have enough courage or inventive enough to set their own style. And they're looking out for these guys. They're looking out for these kids, as they call them. And the industry has a term for these people that are bold enough to do what they think is cool, like what they want to do, the trendsetters. And their term that the industry has are edge kids. I don't know if y'all ever heard that, but I don't know. So these are the people that set the trends. They watch them, they see it, they steal it, and then they get some famous person to do it. And then they sell it. That's how it works. So these edge kids, these people that are bold to just do whatever they think's cool, aren't necessarily more popular or more intelligent or talented than the average kid. But the thing is they dare. They dare to do things out of the ordinary. And because they're doing something different, and it can eventually catch on. So, and these edge kids, I mean, they don't worry about what other people think about them at all. They don't care. They're setting trends. Yeah. So I like y'all to think about this. We together as a collective group, as we are joined as one through as the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit, we together as a Jesus culture. Think about this. What if we started some type of trend that hold on all across the world? Like, I mean, Hillsong is a good example of somebody that is something like that. And Elevation is probably something the next closest example. I mean, think about it. That would be really cool. That would be awesome. And it's possible. But the issue is not fashion. That's not what I'm getting at here. It's not fashion. God has a special plan and purpose for each one of us here, each one of us in the room, because we're individually created by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And what Jesus actually intends for us is, by his power through us, is to influence others around us in almost the same nature, but much more important than fashion could ever be. We can really impact people. And what God really wants us to be is spiritual edge kids. He wants us to be bold and stand up for the Lord, like Daniel. Honoring God no matter what others think. To be consecrated. To be set apart, separated, holy unto the Lord. When we dare to stand up for the Lord, Will he influence those who do not know Jesus? And will he influence those or encourage those who you can go to school with that are Christians, but you can strengthen them to be bolder in their faith and to step out like you have? And we have a lot of people that we need to encourage, a lot of other Christians. I mean, the way I see it, from what I don't know all y'all yet that well, and I can't wait to get to know y'all more, but from what I've been hearing, the way I see it, is y'all are like a remnant, almost. Look it up. There you go. You're the few, the chosen, the children of the Lord through Jesus Christ, filled by the Holy Spirit. And you're empowered by this. You have this power. You need to use it. You need to pray daily and get this boldness. And it just rubs off on you. So all the people that don't know Jesus, first of all, and people who do know Jesus, that you can empower them to become even more bold in their faith and their walk with Jesus Christ. The Lord can do that. He can do that with y'all. So, in God's kingdom, those who are willing to be different are making the biggest difference for Jesus in the kingdom. And now I want to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So, in other words, when you put the Lord first, he will take care of you and all your needs. Just like Daniel just showed us in chapter 1. Yeah. So, do you want to come up and play, Hunter? I know I didn't talk to you before. Okay. Okay. Well, I guess tonight I just wanted y'all to think a little bit more about deepening your commitment with the Lord, how serious your commitment is, and maybe becoming more bold with your faith and by being connected with the Lord and how you can influence others. So I just want for everybody to bow your hearts, bow your heads, and close your eyes, and we'll pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for everything you are, God. We thank you for all that you've given us, Lord, through you, your Son. We thank you for this collectiveness that we have together as one through you, Lord. And we have faith in you, and we profess your name, Jesus, because you are holy, and you are our God. We love you, Lord. And I ask that you just bring us closer to you. And continue to lead us, God, and just come down to us, Lord, and show us more of you. Lord, show us more of your love, that we can love you and love others more, that we can continue to grow in this way. And I ask that you just give us fire, this burning in our spirit, this gift that you've given us, that we would walk in the Spirit, we would look in the Spirit, because life in the flesh is death, but we need to just live in the Spirit and stay committed to you, Lord, and walking with you and allowing you and being humble enough to allowing you to lead us. Spirit, Lord, I ask that you just strengthen us all by your Holy Spirit here tonight, and we thank you so much for your blood that washes us and purifies us. We thank you for how you consecrate us, and you've pulled us out of this world, and we thank you that we are and we can be called your children of you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, everyone said,